First reading is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Daniel chapter 7. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kinship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the word of God, as it is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
It is a great privilege and honor to welcome Bishop Rainhill to the pulpit of Union Church. He's a full-time pastor, and he is a full-time director of church growth for his denomination, and we can't wait to hear what God has for us through you. Welcome to Union Church.
Thank you very much, Pastor Greg. At the outset, let me just express to God my gratitude for all of you because you have been our partners, especially in the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And most particularly in the training of church planters and in the planting of churches back home in the Philippines, as well as continually bringing under your covering and your care the Alliance Filipino Fellowship here under the leadership of Pastor Ruth Tablada. We appreciate all that you have done throughout the years. Thank you for your missionary heart and your commitment to seeing more people come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you also for bringing us here during this Missions Emphasis Month of your church. My wife, Pastor Anna, together with Pastor Benji Zaligan, Pastor Yolan Center Jr., and I are very thankful for the opportunity to be here in Hong Kong and to see some beautiful places. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for the honor and the opportunity to be here this morning to share the Word of God, and especially in this awesome church, the Union Church of Hong Kong. Thank you for your love and concern, and above all, your great love for our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to thank Dennis and Guangzi, together with Marka, who's been helping us around here, and for Dennis and Guangzi allowing us to stay at the beautiful house while we are here in Hong Kong. Let us pray. Father, bless our worship service today, and may your powerful word come to rest in our hearts as we listen to it. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. In 2013, my wife and I were led to go to the central part of the Philippines, which is the Visayas, and particularly in Sugod, southern Leyte. Others were saying that we were there for our retirement, what we call years, and indeed, it was a beautiful place. It's really what we call a place that is stress-free. 2 years into the ministry in Sugod, Southern Leyte, I got this burden in my heart because I saw that the Alliance presence was lacking. You see, in Southern Leyte, we have 17 towns and one city, and the Alliance Church was just in three places, Mahasin City, our place, Sugod, and we have two churches in the town of Bontoc. So one day, I asked the elder of the church and one of the church planters, I said to them, let's meet. And so one night, we came together and met. And then after about an hour of meeting, we have come up with a goal that we will plant 28 churches in 10 years' time. And so in 2015, we began by planting two churches in Tomas Opus and in Macrohon, that's in Southern Leyte. And then the next year, in 2016, the Lord gave us five places. That's also all in Southern Leyte. So we went to Malitbog, we went to Macrohon, or rather to Padre Burgos, we went to Libagon, we went to St. Bernard, and also the town of San Juan. That was in 2017. And then, just this year, rather in 2017, we went to one place which is called the Island of Limasawa. That's still under Southern Leyte. But we went beyond Leyte, Southern Leyte. We went to the province of Leyte, the Leyte proper we call, and we went to both sides. The eastern side was in Ibuyog town, and the western part was in Matalom, Leyte. So these were the churches that we planted. Even in just 3 years' time, the Lord gave us 10 places where we will be starting these places, or rather this church planting. So we want to praise God that we are in these places continually sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this year, under Kamakop's church planting program, we also have started one in Calbayog City, which is in Western Samar. And then we went to Eastern Samar, which is Canavid and Taf. And then we also started another one in Southern Leyte, which is in Liluan. We believe that a church is God's light in a community. The more churches we plant, the more churches we have in these places, they will become more brighter. And we hope and pray that this is going to dispel darkness in these places. Like several candles in one room, it's going to brighten that one dark room. But when we only have one, it's a little bit dim though. Participation in the building and multiplying of churches is worth investing because it is God's business. It is God's business. And at the end of the service, hopefully you'll have that opportunity to invest. Let us look at Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 to 20, and find some essential truths about God's church. In learning about these essential truths, it will inspire us to be more involved, I believe, in God's business, and that is establishing and multiplying churches. The first thing that we find in this verse, and I like to just focus on verse 18, the church is built or is being built by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declares, I will build my church. The I is emphatic and shows to us who is building the church of God. The author of the church is Jesus Christ himself, and he is the one that is building it. This means that we are not the ones building the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We only are his instruments to build it. That is why we are called laborers. We are called servants of God in order to help build the church. Today, there are leaders, ministers, pastors who say, I was responsible in starting the church. I was responsible in building the church. This is a mistake. It is only Christ who builds the church. We join him in building and multiplying churches. We do not ask the Lord to join us, but we are joining in building and planting churches because it is His work. The second thing that we find in this verse is this. The church is owned by the Lord Jesus. Jesus declares, I will build my church. My church. The mind is virtuous who possesses the church. The church is possessed and owned by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is never us. We are, however, stewards entrusted with the ministry of our Lord Jesus. And as stewards, we are also responsible for the unity and harmony of the church. In the Kamakop Do, back home, I am told by some people that there are some churches that is being led by just one man. They call him the strong man in the church. Sometimes it is also the pastor who is the strong man. They make decisions and seems to assume ownership of the church. They control the board. They control the pastor. They control everything. When I hear this, I shake my head and I'm disappointed. And I say to myself, who is then is the head of the church? Christ is the head of the church. But you say, but rather, some people say that that is my church. You hear that as well from pastors. You see, I minister in this church. This is my church, they say, they build it. But no, although we can say that we are part of the church, we are members of the church, and probably we can say that is the church where I go to. That is my church. However, let us remember that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who owns and possesses the church. The third thing that we find in this verse is this. The church has its foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus declares, on this rock, I will build my church. The rock symbolizes the foundation on which the church stands. On which the church stands. Foundations are essential in constructing buildings. Right here in Hong Kong, you have tall, big buildings, but you will realize that these are founded on strong foundations. And when it has strong foundations, it will stand strong earthquakes. It will not crumble to the ground. When we look at the church, the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ Himself. And therefore, I would rather say it here, that the church will never crumble because it is on the foundation, Jesus Christ. Now, I do not mean the physical structures of churches. The church has a strong foundation in the person of our Lord Jesus. And that means it is going to withstand persecution, going to withstand opposition. It's going to withstand troubles and tribulations. And this is what we believe. The church has its foundation in Jesus Christ. We just sang the hymn that declares the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. The fourth thing that we find in this verse is this. The church is already granted victory by the Lord Jesus. Jesus declares the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The statement is a statement of triumph and victory. Triumph and victory. The only institution in the world today that is assured of victory and triumph even before it has started. When Jesus said this, the church really has not started yet. But he already has granted triumph and victory even before it started. What a declaration of status. This is the church we are all part of. And we must rejoice over this fact and are blessed because Christ himself is the one who declared it. The statement is therefore a statement of assurance because it already gives those people that are especially involved in the planting of churches the inspiration and the perseverance to continue on, because at the end of the day and at the end of time, the church will always prevail. The third verse of the hymn that we just sang continues to declare, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits for the consummation of peace forevermore, till with a vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. The church today should continue to build and multiply herself because she is already assured of victory. We are all part of God's church, and we are instruments in building and multiplying the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. One night, as I was driving home from a place called Hilungos in Leyte, going back to our residence in Sugud, southern Leyte, there were two other guys with me who were studying at the Alliance Pastors Bible School, where I was also teaching. It is a non-formal Bible school that we do. It's basically training lay people in church ministry as well. So I was driving along, and as we were driving along, we saw people that were having some kind of parade. And as they were doing this parade, they were having candles with them, lighted candles with them. But in front of the parade was a person carrying an image. And we saw three parades that night. When I saw such parade, you know what came into my mind? I saw people marching to their doom. Our founder, the Reverend A.B. Simpson, wrote a hymn, A Missionary Cry. And in this hymn, he said, 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one away in Christless guilt and gloom. That vision came to me. People that's marching to the doom. How many such people are also having the same kind of predicament? Not only in our place, but you will see this in the whole of the Visayas and even nationwide, because predominantly we are a Roman Catholic country. But we realize that those people need a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches has this vision. We call it Philippine Vision. 20,000 congregations we will want to plant in the next several years. So the Evangelical Church, together with the other churches in the Philippines, wants to multiply churches. We want to see congregations sprout from everywhere in the country. Our own share as a denomination, the Christian and Missionary Alliance Churches of the Philippines, which we are part of the big body of evangelical churches, is to plant in the next 5 years 750 churches. This year, we have started that vision and goal. And so we said, as a denomination, we will contribute to the planting of biblical evangelical churches in the Philippines. So we set a goal of 100 this year, and just the first week of this month, we came together, and I got some updates from the district ministry supervisors. And you know what? We have already planted 113 churches. Praise God for what's happening out there. Next year, our goal is to plant 125 churches so that in the next several years, we'll be able to get the 750 that we have come up as a projection and as a goal. But my desire is to see more than 750 churches planted in the Philippines. There is much to do, especially in our area, the Leyte and Samar areas. There is much to do out there. And there are also other poor people out there. Actually, the island of Samar is least evangelized island in the Philippines. Less evangelical churches, and even in our place called Leyte. Now, we are inviting you to be part of this ministry. What can you do to help us? For about $2,500, Hong Kong dollars, you can fully support a church planter to be trained and have a diploma degree in church planting. For about 5,000 Hong Kong dollars, you can put up 50% as a down payment for a motorcycle in order to have our church planters be more accessible in evangelizing the community. And about $15,000 to support a church planter that's single, and about $20,000 for a married couple. And that's for one whole year. However, whatever amount the Lord leads you to give, for whatever purpose, then we invite you to do that. We want you to be counted and be part of building and multiplying churches in the Visayas and Luzon. And I believe that the financial investment you're going to give will go a long way and will help touch lives and transform people by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be our partners and be counted. God bless you all.